Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, last year, just I remember talking about the Patriots. Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy sliding over for Zo. Tim McCone is here. Jim Louth is not in today. T-Bone, do you remember Jim Louth asking a number of times? I do. I specifically recall this. Jim Louth saying, why do they have guys like Brandon King if he can't play a single snap at safety? Why is that? Why is it that the guy is here if he can't even, if they needed a guy to play safety over the course of a season when they have an injury here or there, the guy can't play a single snap at safety? I said, because Bill Belichick has a fetish for special teamers. I mean, he just digs special teamers, man. He is into them, right? That's just what he likes.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a thing for special teamers. He likes to load up his roster with guys that do nothing but play special teams. Guys like Brandon King, who played an entire season last year without a single snap on defense. Guy who's got multiple Super Bowl rings thanks to playing on a team with a quarterback named Tom Brady. Brandon King. Guy who was standing there on the sideline in Super Bowl 51 when he watched Tom Brady lead the Patriots to one of the most epic comebacks in the history of football to beat the Atlanta Falcons. Something we will probably never see again in our lifetimes of watching football. We're not going to see that again. He's got a ring. He gets to go home with a Super Bowl ring for that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Brandon King doesn't really have to do much.
He was on the team.
And he gets a Super Bowl ring for that.
He had a uniform and everything.
And he got one of the best seats in the house for that. I mean, he got an upfront view of that. Right? He gets to go to the locker room after the game. He gets to go to the ring ceremony. He gets to ride afloat in the parade.
He
gets to talk to Tom Brady.
There's a lot of special teams plays in that Super Bowl.
I'm sure there were.
A lot of punts.
Great. NFL.com over the weekend did a story. This was actually July 2nd that it posted, so 6 days ago now. And they did analysis by Elliot Harrison. He posted a story on the top 25 quarterbacks of all time. Elliot Harrison has a brain in his skull, and so he has the Patriots' Tom Brady at the top of the list. Smart man. That seems to make a lot of sense. Tom Brady is number one on his list. Joe Montana's number two. That's all I need to know. That's my list. 1, 2, Brady, Montana. You decide the rest on your own time. I don't really need to know the rest. It's a fun conversation for another day. I don't care to do it today on this show. Okay. This is where it gets stupid. Bernard Pollard. Remember Bernard Pollard? That jackass? You remember him?
It's part of some bad plays.
You remember Bernard Pollard?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember him? I do. I remember Bernard Pollard. I remember that guy. And, like, the fact that it's Bernard Pollard. Patriot killer. Tom Brady killer. Rob Gronkowski killer. Bernard Pollard. This is a guy that has injured both of those players. And obviously the Brady one was a bad one in Kansas City. The Kansas City game, 2008. We all know how that went. Very bad. Very, very bad. Brady's still wearing that knee brace in game to this day because of that one. Okay. Well, it happened to just be Bernard Pollard that sent out this tweet. Of all guys, like of all the guys that could have tweeted this in response to the tweet from NFL.com. The tweet from NFL was, the true GOAT is number 3, Peyton Manning, number 10, Aaron Rodgers, number 18, Russell Wilson. The top 25 quarterbacks of all time, and they're only filling in some of the quarterbacks because they want you to click on the story and see who 1, 2, and all the rest are. Bernard Pollard replied to this tweet from the NFL by saying, y'all crazy. Peyton is number 1, no doubt. Can't go by rings. The things he did on 2 different teams are mind-blowing.
I mean, are we going to take these one by one?
Tom Brady is the clear-cut number 2. Tom has played in a system that works. No doubt he's been special. Oh, thanks, Bernard. Peyton was the system. Oh, here we go again. Another one of these guys.
Okay.
Tom Brady's a system quarterback. Peyton Manning was the system.
Number 1. Was Peyton mind-blowing on 2 different teams?
Oh, no.
No.
No, no. Definitely not mind-blowing on that second one.
No.
He was when he didn't win the Super Bowl. I can tell you that, like before he won the Super Bowl. What, year before, he was pretty good.
What was the system when Peyton, on his second team, won the Super Bowl? What was that team's system?
Basically, try to not have Peyton Manning die on the field.
Defense! That was it!
Don't run past 10 yards because he can't reach you.
I thought you were saying offensively, the system was, don't let Peyton die.
The system was, figure out a way to score 11 or 12 points because we will hold every team we play.
I think
10.
The system was let Brock Osweiler start the first half of the year. I think that was the system.
What was the system?
Listen, I don't even care to knock down Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning was great too. We don't even have to do this.
But his whole premise here is that Peyton was great on 2 different teams and that he was the system. Yes, Tom Brady plays in a system. I would argue that the Patriots system is based on Tom Brady.
It's like, whatever, dude. You're Bernard Pollard. I expect this from the Bernard Pollards of the world. Dirty player. Okay? Get out of here, Bernard Pollard. You know, I'm not going to waste my time getting worried about what Bernard Pollard is saying. But then, hold on a second. Hold on. Here comes Brandon King off the top rope. Brandon King, teammate of Tom Brady. Guy with multiple Super Bowl rings. Guy who's been to the Super Bowl consecutive years in a row. Just keeps going back to the Super Bowl playing his special team snaps thanks to a guy named Tom Brady. Guy who shares a practice field and locker room with Tom Brady. He follows up that tweet. Replies to Bernard Pollard Jr. with 1 word tweet. Facts. He agrees with this jackass. Brandon King, who at last check is still on the Patriots roster and is still employed by the New England Patriots. I would have cut him yesterday. I would call him right now and say, Brandon, don't come to training camp.
Okay. So you would...
I'm so personally offended by this nonsense.
Sure.
I would say, you are the 53rd man on this roster, and you're only in this league because of the head coach with the fetish for the special teamers. You can't even play defense.
So you just said it, Beadle. The head coach. If you were the head coach, you would cut him.
Oh, he won't.
Right? No.
He won't because he doesn't care.
Well, Belichick...
He doesn't care about this stuff. I do. I care about this. And Tom Brady should care.
But I will say this. Not only does Belichick not care, he probably likes it.
Oh, he probably enjoys it.
A little bit.
He probably enjoys it.
You know what? Hey.
I don't enjoy it.
You'll pull him aside and say... Thanks for taking him down a peg or two.
Yeah, as Tom Brady shouldn't enjoy it.
On the same week where he's posting his 40-yard dash times, thank you. Well done. I know that I know you didn't know if I would... No, that's good. That's exactly what we do around here. He probably loves it.
He probably does. The sick man that he is.
I'm not going to cut him over that.
His own teammate agrees with this nonsense. Brandon King doesn't like Tom Brady. Brandon King, not a Tom Brady guy. Just remember that, people, when you're watching the games this year. Brandon King, not on Team Tom Brady.
No.
Anti-Tom Brady.
System quarterback.
Thinks Tom Brady is a system guy. So that's all. Just thought it was worth pointing out. Brandon King. I am no longer a Brandon King guy. Not that I ever was. I'm rooting against him now.
Were you a Brandon King
guy? I'm rooting against him now. Okay. I'll tell you what. I know I'm not a Brandon King guy now. I am out on Brandon King.
Nice going, Brandon.
Beetle, they have roster cutdowns? I'm rooting for him to get cut.
Beetle was ambiguous.
Brandon King to get cut. He just got a contract extension. I hope he never sees a dime of it.
You're ambiguous as to his complete existence.
Yes.
But now you want him out.
Now I'm out. I'm always out on special teamers. I'm out on this one. Yep.
Every special teamer?
Most of them.
Slater?
No, I like that one. Yeah. Love that one, actually.
Everybody likes Matthew
Everyone
Slater.
Likes Matthew Slater. Yeah. Brandon Bolden? Yeah. Out. It's the Brandons. It's all the special team Brandons. I'm out on those guys. What? What'd you got, McCone?
It might.
No.
I'm going to save this.
No, don't. He is not agreeing with the original NFL tweet. He is specifically replying to Bernard Pollard's tweet. At CrushBoy31. That is Bernard Pollard's handle. Look at the tweet. At CrushBoy31. He replies to Pollard's tweet. He doesn't reply to the NFL's tweet. I've already looked into this. He does not have plausible deniability here.
Well, we should not cut him. I got breaking news.
What?
There's two Brandon Kings.
It's a different Brandon King? Yep. I already asked this question.
It's a different Brandon King.
No. Who is it?
No. He played for the Colts.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Come on!
32 years old. Yeah.
I have to issue a public apology to this Brandon King now? You're kidding me!
I just noticed from that
picture. I already asked him, like, this is the Brandon King, right?
Different Brandon King.
Different I look Brandon like King. An a-hole now!
Sorry, Brandon.
I'm going to issue my public apology to the Brandon King of the Patriots.
Didn't this happen to us last week at some point? Didn't we have like a mix-up?
It's a different Brandon King?
It's a different Brandon King. Yep.
Oh, damn it. Now I root for Brandon King. Now I feel bad for Brandon King. So disappointing. It's got the blue check mark and everything.
This Brandon King that we're talking about was signed by the Colts as an undrafted free agent back in 2010.
So it's a different Brandon King.
We got two D-backs that played in the NFL named Brandon King. Yeah. One played with Peyton.
You guys.
One got
maybe it's a
his character assassinated on 98.5 for a segment. Yeah.
Would you now like to welcome Brandon King as Mike Reese reported back on May 17th? He's got a two-year extension.
Yeah,
so
how much?
He's going to be here for a few years. Extension gets tacked on to this year, so King is now signed through 2021 and adds $3.5 million to the deal. So,
how much money did he get? How much? 2021?
Patriots and core special teams player Brandon King have agreed to a two-year extension. The extension gets tacked on to this year, so now King is signed through 2021. The extension adds $3.5 million to the deal.
He's got three tackles in his career. Good for him. I got the wrong Brandon King. So his own teammate didn't call him out? We just wasted a whole segment, Hardy. Now what are we
doing? I don't think it was a waste.
That was fun while it lasted. I got the wrong Brandon King.
You think Caserio and Belichick have had the same conversation?
They should. Brandon King of the Patriots, I sincerely apologize. What a mix-up. We had the wrong Brandon King. I'm so sorry. I don't want you cut anymore. In fact, I want you to flourish. I want you to do well. I want you to succeed on special teams. I want you to get all the tackles on the punts and kickoffs.
The first 7 minutes of the segment stand up, though. The Pollard stuff.
Yeah. He's a jackass. He still sucks.
Actually, there's a couple people on Twitter who like it. They said it was a great plot twist, great segment.
So, yeah, good. We had the wrong Brandon King. What a disaster. 617-779-0985. What a dip I am. Oh, Jesus! Dump it!
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're making our bullpen stronger and deeper. So I think you have more length in that regard. And I'd love to have Evaldi as a starter and as our closer. But I think what we'll do is, unfortunately, Brian Johnson was going to be that guy. He had pitched for us. He's out for a while. I think we're leaning towards Hector doing that for us on Thursday. He has done that in the past. We can feel comfortable. So I don't know if we'll go with an opener. We'll keep an open eye looking at what else, who else may be out there. But we'll see what direction we go.
That's Dave Dombrowski. Red Sox hit the All-Star break. It seems to be trending in the right direction. Getting some wins over the weekend in Detroit. Clean sweep in Detroit over the weekend. And that comes after they got that win in their final game on Thursday against the Blue Jays. So they win four straight going into the break. That's a positive sign for the Red Sox. That goes back to last week with Dave Dombrowski. Man, just the names being tossed around there. Nathan Eovaldi. When I heard that, when he said that last week, when he said Nathan Eovaldi, we'd like him to be the closer and the starter. I literally thought for a second he might even suggest he do both jobs. Like, yeah, he's actually going to start, and then on the days when he's not starting, we might have him close. Because that's how desperate we are. We're gonna have him do a little bit of both. Nathan Eovaldi coming back. And then just listen to the other names we're talking about. Hector Velasquez again and Brian Johnson. And we're talking about guys that are come on. That's not solving the issue. That is shuffling the deck chairs. That doesn't make a difference. That doesn't really improve the issue with this team. That doesn't help what's happening here. And every time they have one of these good little stretches, you win four straight going into the break, you feel good. I almost feel like they're going to take that. Ah, see, things are okay. Things are okay. We're playing better. They keep putting out this thing about playing better. Do you keep hearing that? Oh, you got to play better. Right. Got to play better.
Right.
And then when they have some wins that they string together because, oh, by the way, their roster is ridiculously talented. And no one has ever questioned that. They've got a great lineup. They've got good starting pitching, even with the injuries that they faced, even without Eovaldi. They still got Sale. They still have Price. They've still got a stacked roster. Their one major flaw is their bullpen. So they're even with that issue of that bullpen mess, they're still capable of winning a lot of baseball games this way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
And I feel they're going to use it as their excuse when they string together wins. See, this is all we needed. We just needed to play better. And I can already feel that coming on as their excuse to do nothing between now and the trade deadline, which is now just weeks away. We just needed to play better. We played well going into the break. We're playing better. We're hitting the ball better. We're better. And we're going to be sitting here watching this team down the stretch run, talking about the Hector Velasquez's of the world. What the hell are we doing here? What is the point of this exercise? Where you spend this amount of money on a roster and you leave a gaping hole in your bullpen. What's the point of this? And Dave Dombrowski's telling you they got to play better. Yeah, we just got to play better. Just got to play better. We'll figure it all out because we just got to play better. We got a lot of talent here. That's never been debated. So I worry about the Red Sox. I worry about where they are and what they're going to really. I don't worry about their team. I worry about the upstairs. I worry about the people up top not doing what it's going to take to put them in a position to succeed at the end of the year.
And you wouldn't think that guys in that position would be subject to recency bias, but it happened last year. And all the calls that were made to change things and to shore up the bullpen and to get another arm and to do all that and to figure out something to do with Kimbrel, because even he was your closer and he was fine at times, but he left you wondering to the point where he didn't even get to record the final outs in the World Series. All of that worked out for them. And I remember thinking at the time, they're just going to roll with this and they're going to think everything's going to be okay. But there was this, you know, coming together of events last year that led to all that. And I wonder, Beetle, if they're thinking the same way, you know? If they look at and say, well, yeah, we were in the same position last year. Look what happened, you know? It'll be all right. Things always work out. No, they don't always work out.
What do you think of Eovaldi as a closer?
I think it's the best they have to work with right now.
Okay, I think if he's healthy, it could make a lot of sense. He's coming off an elbow injury again. He's had elbow surgery twice in 2 years. Now you want to put him in the position of being the closer coming back off that rehab? What? Why? What are you doing? They're asking for trouble. They're asking for trouble with that, and they just signed this guy to a big contract. I think they're asking for it. I think they're going to pay for that decision. I think that's stupid.
Depends on how much you value that position and what side of the fence you fall on the closer argument. Is the closer overrated in terms of a position that you need to have and have to pay for, or can you do it by committee, and can you essentially eliminate the need for a closer by just having bigger leads going into the final inning? I think this team right now can't afford that, and I think they need somebody who can go in there and shut them down. So in terms of what they have at their disposal and what they have right now, if they're not going to make any more moves, and if you listen to John Henry, you know, from a business perspective, he says, well, we spent all this money. They should be good. Keep saying that the value is there just based on the size of the checks that he has to write. You know, that's how he's looking at it. I don't see how they can't be good. Look how much money this costs.
Yeah, why don't we actually talk about John Henry? I think he's totally skated on those comments, by the way, that he had to Rob Bradford last week. I don't think those comments have gotten nearly enough attention in the last week. Because if any other owner in this town makes comments like those, he's completely called out for it. I don't know that those comments that he had, which he went on and on and on and on and on about this team, and never not once did he say the word bullpen. I found those comments shocking. We'll tell you more about it coming up after headlines. Here's McCone.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Teddy Bruschi posting on Instagram this morning that he is doing much better after suffering a stroke last week. Bruins, meanwhile, have signed forward Peter Cehlárik to a one-year, two-way contract with an NHL cap hit of $700,000. Red Sox with a 6-3 win over the Tigers yesterday. David Price picking up the win for Boston as they now head into the All-Star break. Alex Cora on his team.
Tough road trip, the London and Toronto, and to come here and the rain delays, and to be able to finish it this way is great. You know, David did an outstanding job. You know, he had to grind it today. A lot of foul balls, a lot of deep counts, but he gave us what he had. You know, he told me a few days ago, a week ago, that he was ready for two games this week, and he went out there and performed. Now we get to reset the next 4 days, whatever it is, and be ready for Friday.
Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby in Cleveland. The winner going to take home $1 million, and 15-year-old Coco Gauff's run at Wimbledon has come to an end in the fourth round as she fell to former number one Simona Halep, 6-3, 6-3. Sports Hub Headlines brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the proven program that will fit into your summer while helping you fit into your bathing suit. Lose weight starting your very first week. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for Sports 98.5. The Sports Hub, your next update, 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Concert series kicks off this weekend. Fish will perform at Fenway Park tomorrow. A limited number of tickets are still available at redsox.com/fish.
Because of the concert series, Mitch Moreland having some difficulty getting his base running in at Fenway Park, believe it or not. On his rehab.
We can't find a place for Mitch Moreland to go run the bases. How hard is that to go find a place for Mitch Moreland to go run the bases? I get it. They're having a concert at Fenway. I'm not going to rip the Red Sox for that. Is it hard to find a baseball field, Hardy? I mean, there's baseball fields everywhere.
I'm trying to think if there's anything specific that they would need. I mean, no. I mean,
Get the training staff and put him in the car with Mitch and drive him to a baseball field.
Right.
I couldn't believe that. That happened over the weekend. I think that was Friday night they did that.
How many are within walking distance of your house?
At least two.
Right.
Three. Three major league size diamonds. Yes. Yep.
How about just 90 feet of dirt somewhere?
Exactly. But no, I get it. If you want to actually do it on a diamond, then you could find one within 5 minutes. When Tom and I talked about this off the air, I said that Jim Rice Field over by Wentworth is 3 minutes from Fenway Park. It's the Boston Park League plays there. It's like a nice field. You can bring them over there.
Yeah.
Over there. Get your base running in and go back to Fenway. What's the problem? What is the issue? By the way, they found Boston police found 67 canisters of nitrous oxide outside Fenway on Friday night. Wonder what that was all about. 67 canisters.
So were people making like hot fudge sundaes and they needed the whipped cream?
They also found the area peppered with deflated latex balloons scattered on the ground. Yes. Or the fish concert that was going on over there. Anyway.
Which, by the way.
Yeah.
You ever done that?
No. With a balloon in like a canister?
Yeah, like a nitrous balloon. Just here, take a balloon.
I thought you were talking about with the whipped cream.
No.
The whippets.
No. Well, I mean, you can do it either way, but, you know, it's with a balloon. You never done that?
Not with the balloon, no.
Oh. All right.
Not to that length. Going to those lengths to make it happen.
Me neither.
Yeah, right.
Of course not.
Anyway, back to John Henry, who last week said, giving his perspective to Rob Bradford, he says, you know, I don't feel good about how we played thus far. This was when they fell 11 games back at the Yankees in that trip to London, which went so well for them. And all he talked about was, was it a great idea to bring the same team back? And that maybe it isn't the best thing in the world to bring back the same team in its entirety every time. And he talked about 14 and how they didn't have the same focus as 13. And you know what he just completely skips over in these comments that he made last week? They didn't bring back the same team. Did he miss that part? He kept talking about how we brought back the same team. No, you didn't. You brought back the same team minus the closer and some other bullpen pieces. Joe Kelly's one of them, even though Joe Kelly, again, had a great year and finished really strong. He didn't have a great year consistently. He had great stretches. But still, you did not bring back the same exact team.
Nope.
You didn't do that. You can't let a high-priced closer walk out the door, bring back the team, and say, oh, we brought back the same team. When you've had 17 blown saves to that point, you can't make the claim, well, we have the same team. And wait a minute. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, John. That's just factually incorrect. You're not speaking truth right now. You're not telling the truth, my friend. That's just a lie. Lies, lies, lies.
And even, like you said, with Joe Kelly, these were the part of the things that I worried about and wondered about. And even had they kept Joe Kelly and figured out a way to get him on board, and had they brought Craig Kimbrell back, all that, it would be difficult to try and to even think that they could go out there and replicate what they did last year, even if they had kept the exact same roster. But as you said, they didn't. And when a closer goes out the door, well, who'd you bring in? Who's your closer? Who's it going to be?
So he makes the claim they brought back the same team. That's not true. They didn't. He then gets into money. And when you start talking money as an owner, that's always a bad decision. Always. Never good to start talking money unless you're talking about how much money you want to spend. In terms of you want to spend endless amounts of money. That's the only time it's good to be talking money as an owner. And he says, quote, it's not a luxury tax issue. It's a question of how much money do we want to lose? Because owning the Red Sox is just such a losing proposition, isn't it, Hardy? It's tough. The losses just keep piling up as Red Sox owners. I know. It's got to be hard. We're already over budget, and we were substantially over our budget last year and this year. We're not going to be looking to add a lot of payroll, and it's hard to imagine fielding a better team. It's hard to imagine fielding a better team? It is? How's it hard to imagine that?
It's beyond imagination.
Not really. I can imagine them going into the deadline, approaching the deadline with the idea of, let's get some bullpen pieces, and then on August 1st, fielding a better team. I can imagine it. I can picture it, and it's within reach.
But you would have...
I can imagine it. Can you imagine it, Tim McCone?
Well, you're 9 games back right now, so I can picture a better team.
I can picture it. Yeah. I can picture them having a better bullpen on August 1st than what they've got right now. But I can picture it for them.
Would you do that through just paying more, or would you do that through trades? Because if you're doing it through...
Well, you're going to have to do it through trade. You're going to have to give up
something. So if you're doing it through trades, he's talking about on paper, would the team be better? You would have to part with guys, as you said. And
yes,
as
you would.
As we've said, talented pieces.
Yep.
So is it going to be more talented? No, but the talent would be different.
You would have to be a different change type. The composition of the roster a little bit.
Be a different type of talent.
Speaking of that, Ken Rosenthal just tweeting out literally a minute ago, Red Sox pushing to add a starting pitcher, sources tell The Athletic, would prefer to act sooner rather than later, casting a wide net.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that it was unimaginable that they would have a better roster.
It is hard to imagine.
I mean, how are they casting a wide net? That would, to me, seem to involve an imagination.
Well, John Henry said he can't imagine, but maybe he's not an imaginative person. So apparently, he didn't say it's beyond imagination. I can't imagine, but I can't think of anything. I can't write a roses or red poem. Yeah. I have no imagination.
That, I get this stuff, yeah.
That's Dave Dombrowski's
I'm bad,
department.
I'm bad at it.
You know?
Draw you a picture, and I'm like, with what? How? Of what? I don't know.
It's hard to imagine fielding a better team. No, I think it's definitely something we can all imagine. We can imagine them having a better team come August 1st. And then he says this line again, if we play up to our capabilities, we'll be fine. And I don't think that is true either. I think offensively, there are guys that could perform better. J.D. Martinez could be better than what he was because we saw it a year ago. Mookie Betts could play better because we saw it a year ago. Those are true, okay? The guys that they pay a lot of money to and are expected to perform could be better. No doubt about it. And there are other guys, too. I just singled those two out because those are the two biggest stars. Got it, okay? Understood. Chris Sale, on the starting pitching side, of course he could be better. So I get it. I get what they're saying. Yeah, they could definitely play better. That still doesn't solve the bullpen issue. And he spoke at length about this team and talked about how it was the same team and how they don't want to go over budget and how they can't imagine the team being any better than it is right now. And all of this stuff about focus and is it a worthy team and how much we've got invested and how we've got the highest payroll. And never once did he bring up the bullpen. Not once, which is the topic with this team, which is the thing that every one of his fans is talking about for the last month. And so he's either woefully out of touch with his fans or he's avoiding it on purpose because he knows it's the issue and he just doesn't want to touch that third rail and say something that is going to piss people off because they don't plan on fixing the bullpen. Or I don't know what. I mean, really, I just don't know because I don't know how you can talk at length and not bring it up and just have zero accountability on that issue and just be factually incorrect that you brought the same team back. No, you didn't. That's not true. So I was very, very disappointed in those comments. And I don't think people even really fully read into those comments last week. I don't think they got a lot of play. Maybe it's the state of the Red Sox right now. Maybe that's part of it, that the Red Sox just don't get as much run anymore. But I don't think those comments got a lot of play anywhere.
They should have, just by virtue of the fact that the owner was speaking. We don't hear from the owner.
We don't hear from owners anymore, anywhere.
Nope.
Owners don't talk anymore.
Well, John Henry doesn't speak that much. He spoke at the picnic table last couple of seasons, and last year especially. When did we hear from John Henry? After the picnic table.
I don't think we
spring
did.
Training. I don't think we did either.
I don't think we've heard from him at all. But he went to London. He owns a soccer team there, so he felt obliged.
True.
617-779-0985. Speaking of international things, soccer's international. You watched the World Cup yesterday?
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't either. But you have a take on it.
But no.
You have thought?
That's part of my take is the reason why I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
That's a big part of the
Tell
take.
Tell us about that,
big
please.
Part of the
Next.
Take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
That's it. U.S. wins their fourth World Cup.
The eyes, the pressure that was on this team coming into the World Cup, the way they handled that, the way they have lifted a nation, the way they have lifted a gender has been something to behold. Yes, it's football, but they've done so much more against all odds in the most challenging World Cup we've ever seen.
This hour is Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by AdCare's Outpatient Services. Getting help for addiction doesn't always mean being away from your job and family. AdCare Outpatient Services can work around your schedule. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
TV ratings were good yesterday, Hardy. The audience, American audience for the game, 20% higher than last year's men's final. obviously involving an American team helps. 2-0 win. 2-0, the final.
Yep.
U.S. women defeated the Netherlands. I did not watch. I did not watch one single minute of the World Cup because it's just not my sport, not my thing. But for many of you, it is, and you love it. So good for you. Hardy, you're sort of a soccer guy.
I am, and I watched the match on Wednesday. I believe that was the last match they played, and I did it as a means to, you know, actually take in an entire match, and I had a notion that maybe something else was going to be going on over the weekend, and it was, and that's my number one thought on this, Beetle. If you were inside watching that match yesterday, what are you doing?
What if you're a soccer fan?
What are you doing?
What if you're a soccer fan, though?
This is, we live in New England,
yeah,
right? And suffer through these winters and that 3 feet of snow that we got in March and everything else for days like yesterday.
Yeah, but it was
not the 4th of
the
July.
The game was at 11 a.m. If you're a soccer fan, this comes around once every 4 years.
You record it, you go outside, and you do other things.
It was over before 1 o'clock.
You do other things. That's not what you should have been doing yesterday. That's number one.
That's a bad take.
Oh, really?
As a sports guy, that's a bad take.
Are Rich Schertenlieb and John Wallach and the other guys who were inside watching it yesterday big soccer fans?
Well, okay, that's why I said
the country.
If you're a soccer fan, then you shouldn't be criticized for watching the soccer game.
Okay, non-soccer fans, people who'd only watch, you know, World Cup occasionally, you know, call them, you know, like Olympic fans, right? Yeah, you pay attention to it when it's on. You had no business being inside watching TV yesterday. That's number one. But number two, the main reason why I didn't watch it after watching the last match in its entirety, I just don't find it all that entertaining. And I did not feel that the level of play dictated me going out of my way to stay indoors on a day like yesterday and watch that from just an entertainment perspective. Take the game winner. And I think Rapinoe's penalty kick was, in fact, the game winner. That was the first goal of the game. Was that some great achievement or some great play that deserves my or anyone else's attention? The keeper from Denmark made half a step in the wrong direction. The ball went scooted by her on the other side, and she went, oh, shucks, and just looked at it, trickle by her. I mean, it's just, from an actual entertainment perspective, I didn't feel compelled to sit there and watch it all go down. What can I say? For the same reason we don't watch every single thing. You watch motorsports, Beetle, of any kind?
Not really.
Why?
It just doesn't appeal to me.
Same thing. It didn't appeal to me. It didn't.
You're talking like, you know, racetrack, going around the circle?
Yeah,
you know, NASCAR?
Stuff like that. Nah. A lot of people do. A lot of people do, and for them, I get it. They might stay inside on a day like yesterday and watch that too. I'm not staying inside to watch that yesterday. And once it's already over, it's like any other sporting event. I try and record games and go back and watch them later. I hardly ever do. I'll watch the highlights because you know what happened. I know what happened. Good for them. I think it's a great achievement. And I think it's I still think it's ridiculous that the women aren't getting paid what the men are getting paid and that the money isn't there. And they brought attention to that once again. But to that, I would
say, to me, is the most fascinating story of this entire thing.
Well, to that, but
is the pay story.
Okay. And the unequal pay. And like you said, the ratings are good. And I think the sponsorships are there. And while it may not bring in as much money in terms of ticket sales and revenue and ratings as the men.
So for 2016, 17, and 18, the women did better at the gate than the men.
Okay.
They brought in more money.
So the money is there.
And in the lawsuit, they've got all the data and they're going to crush them on that point.
Perfect.
And then the problem is they've sold the TV package and the sponsorships jointly for men and women. So where's the divide? They've sold them as one joint package. You buy it all. You don't buy one or the other.
Right.
So they've killed them at the gate. Their TV ratings are going to be better. And they've sold all the sponsorships jointly. So they're going to have a hell of a case here to get, maybe not dollar for dollar, but damn near close to it, what the men are making.
To which I would say,
I hope they do. They deserve, listen.
Of course.
All I know is they deserve a hell of a lot more than what they're getting now.
Yeah, of course.
That's a fact.
Of course they do.
Based on nothing more than revenue and dollars, not not anything else.
Of course. And want them to get paid.
Not how many goals they scored or any of the other stupid arguments that have been made in the last couple of weeks on this debate.
None of that stuff. But
dollars and cents only.
What I will say is this. Oh, soccer is corrupt?
Kidding me.
Oh, really? There's money being exchanged and it's not ending up where it's supposed to be in the beautiful game? Of course it's not. I can think of very few things, certainly not in sports, that are the size and have the popularity that soccer does that are as corrupt as that the entire sport from FIFA,
the Olympics
Olympics. Oh my
God. It's
the
most corrupt things going in sports.
And the Olympics, you name it. If there's something around the game, chances are there are shenanigans. So of course there's a dispute in terms of who's getting paid how much money.
Yes.
Of course there is. But look, everybody, a lot of people rallied around them and a lot of people were happy for them. I just question as to how many people were really entertained by what was actually taking place as opposed to you're entertained by the win. Great. That's cool. The celebration. Got it. Just don't try and sell me on the fact that it was this awesome thing that you needed to be watching just from an entertainment or sporting perspective.
617-779-0985. Why don't we get to some of your calls? We've got some calls waiting. We've been neglecting that. We'll do that coming up in 90 seconds. We are 2 hours into sitting very close to one another. I've gotten more used to it.
Yeah.
It's still awkward as hell. I just looked up and saw the camera shot. I didn't know how awkward it looks. It is different. All right, we're back in 90. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.